So last week we talked together and thought about together finding true and lasting contentment. Very much related to contentment is the biblical concept of joy. And that's what I want to think about with you this morning. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4, all three of these messages relating to contentment are found in, or based and flow out of, Philippians chapter 4. This morning we're going to be reading the first 9 verses where Paul says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are found in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Thomas Edison was 67 years old when he was financially wiped out by a fire that struck Edison Industries in West Orange, New Jersey. And he had $200,000 worth of insurance on his property, and he stood there in the cold winter wind, as his son Charlie remembers. He stood there looking at this fire consuming his property. And Charlie writes, "I saw my dad standing there looking at the fire that was destroying 60 years of my dad's hard work. And do you know what he said? He said, 'Charlie, there's one good thing about disasters. They eliminate your mistakes, and you get to start over.'" 3 months later, Thomas Edison invented the phonograph. Perspective. Perspective makes all the difference on how you react to something. Isn't that right? Makes all the difference. Here's case in point. When the soldiers of Israel saw Goliath, they thought to themselves, "He's so big, we don't have a chance." When David saw how big Goliath was, he thought to himself, "He's so big, I can't miss." Perspective. It makes all the difference, right? When it comes to joy, perspective is everything. The way you look at life, filled with its ups and downs, will determine your capacity for joy. The Apostle Paul was somebody who had perspective. And it enabled him to have joy, even though his life was filled with significant challenges and difficulties. If you read the book of Philippians, it's a book that is filled with joy. In fact, the word joy or rejoice is used 13 times in its 4 chapters. Again, I want to take you back to where Paul was when he wrote the book of Philippians. As you might recall, if you were here last week, he was in a prison cell. He was in Rome. He was chained to the walls. He was under watch by Roman guards 24 hours a day. And what Paul was not able to do without his freedom is to preach Christ, which was his passion. What he was not able to do was to plant churches, which is what made his heart beat fast. And furthermore, there were people on the outside who were calling into question Paul's credibility and Paul's message because they were so resentful of the popularity of Paul in the churches in Asia Minor. Paul could have become depressed. He could have become discouraged. He could have become disillusioned. He could have found himself wallowing in self-pity and despair. But he did not, he would not, he chose not to. Instead, he chose not to focus on his present circumstances and remain joyful. Joy is a matter of perspective. What's more, Paul faced the very real possibility of execution at the hands of the Romans. In fact, he was. He lost his life. And yet Paul continued in his letter, even under this specter of his death, to express joy. And in Philippians chapter 4, he encourages Philippian Christians to rejoice. He says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice." Doesn't it seem strange that a man in prison would be encouraging people on the outside? How could anyone in Paul's circumstances bear such a strong testimony to joy in his life? And the answer to this is found in the source of his joy. The source of Paul's joy was not in his circumstances. That's pretty obvious. But the source of Paul's joy was found in God's presence in his life. If you look carefully at Philippians chapter 4, what is the key here? Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Is the key rejoice, or is it what he is rejoicing in and encouraging us to rejoice in? The source of Paul's joy was not the circumstances that surrounded him, it was God's presence in his life. If the source of your joy is your circumstances, then I can tell you that you're going to be on a roller coaster because that's how life oftentimes is. We go through good times and we go through not so good times. Sometimes we go through very difficult and painful circumstances. And I think that if Paul were here today, he would be saying, be very careful about what you choose to make the source of your joy. If you make circumstances the source of your joy, you're going to be deeply disappointed because circumstances in life change always. If you make your relationships with others the source of your joy, then you're going to be disappointed because people often change. They change their mind. They get moody. They let you down. If you base your joy on things, you're going to be disappointed because things have a way of not being satisfying. They have a way of disappointing over the long run. We thought about that last week. If you base your joy on position in life, then you're going to be disappointed, because position is almost always temporary. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Circumstances change, people change, possessions change, positions change, your health changes. But Jesus Christ, Hebrews 3, verse 18, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ does not change. You can always count on him. He's a sure thing on which you can anchor your life. Now, there's a big difference between happiness and joy. In the English language, the word happiness is directly related to the word happening, right? We find our happiness in what is happening to you or around you, or on what we anticipate will happen to us. So we feel happy if the circumstances in our lives are positive. If you get a promotion, you are happy. If you buy something new, you are happy. If you do well on your exams, then you are happy. But if you get passed over for a promotion, if you lose your job, if you get sick, if you don't do so well on your exams, then you're not all that happy. Many of us tell ourselves that when things get better, oh, then we'll be happy. When my braces finally come off, when I finish school, when I find someone to love, when my health is restored, when I finally am able to retire, then I'll be happy. If you find yourself constantly looking forward to the future for happiness, chances are you won't find it. Chances are you'll never find it. If you can't find joy in the present, chances are you will not find joy in the future. If we wait for outside circumstances to get just right, if we wait for the stars to align, we'll never smile again. Happiness depends on circumstances. Biblical joy is something quite different. Real biblical joy is first and foremost a state of inward confidence and well-being that flows out of knowing, first of all, that I am loved and that I'm accepted by God. You can't have joy unless you know that you are accepted, that you are valued, that you are cared for. No one values and cares for and loves you like God does. No one accepts you and cares for you and loves you the way he does. Apostle Paul put it this way in very personal terms. This from the book of Galatians chapter 2. He said, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Christ gave himself for me. The cross is the measure of the depth of God's love for you, and nothing will be able to separate you from that love. We know that because Scripture tells us that. Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, "For I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm convinced, he says, come what may in life, nothing will be able to separate you from God's love. Which leads me then to the second thing, and that is joy flows out of knowing that God is with me. knowing that God is with me, that he'll be present in my life, come what may, in any and every situation, no matter what I'm going through, God is with me. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God. No matter what you face in life, or what you may face in the future in life, or what you have faced in the past in life, God wants you to know that you were never alone, are never alone, and will never be alone. You don't have to feel overwhelmed, because He is with you right now, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him to care for you. You can trust Him to provide for you. You can trust Him that nothing will ever be able to separate you from His love. The third thing that I want to point out is that joy flows from knowing that God is in control. Whatever I encounter in life, yet the testimony of Scripture is that God is in control. You see, our natural tendency is to focus on the problem that we are facing and how it affects our lives. And I want to suggest that that is a very subjective view of reality. And I want to encourage us to see things through the perspective of Scripture. In other words, as God sees them. Because when we're able to look at life through the perspective of Scripture, our outlook becomes more objective, and we're able to accept the truth that in all circumstances of life, God is yet in control. He is yet able to accomplish His plans and His purposes, even in the midst of very difficult and adverse circumstances. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8. He said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." Joy, you see, comes from seeing the big picture. That's perspective. And the big picture tells us that God is in control. The big picture tells us that God loves us and wants what's best for those who love Him. Romans 8. 28. And He's not thwarted or held back by the circumstances of our lives or the world around us. In all things, Paul says, He's at work bringing about His good purposes, either for our lives or at times for the lives of others, or at times to advance the kingdom of God. The big picture tells us that God's power is greater than any obstacle we can face in life, and therefore we can face anything and everything through Him who gives us strength. Here's the passage that we focused on last time. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And you can add your own weather, your own set of circumstances here. Because Paul says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Fourth is, joy flows from knowing that I have a bright future. And what I mean by that is that this life is not all there is, that it's only a prelude to a new and very different and very beautiful life in the presence of God. A life that stretches on and on for all of eternity. The big picture tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And therefore, for me to live is Christ, says Paul in Philippians 1, and to die is gain. Words that are on my mother's tombstone. You know, without a future, there can be no joy in the present. Without a future, there can be no joy in the present. Look what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you see as we read it, if you don't see and hear the words of the song that we sung earlier this morning, by faith. Paul says, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That, friends, is perspective. When we have the right perspective, we can live with joy whatever our present circumstances. Joy is a state of mind. It is an inner peace and contentment which is stable and which is constant no matter what the circumstances are around us, because the source of our joy, God and His presence in our lives, is stable and constant. Circumstances change. They're often beyond our control. Joy, on the other hand, is something that defies circumstances and can yet be present, even in the most difficult situations. Now, all of this is easier said and preached than experienced. Let's just acknowledge that. And some of you are wondering, okay, yeah, but how can I be joyful with what I'm experiencing? And let me just encourage you with this. You and I can choose to focus on the circumstances around us. We can let what we face and the problems and the obstacles that we encounter color our view of everything in life, or we can choose to focus on God's deep and abiding and constant presence in our lives and the perspective that flows from that. Unlike the world's notion of happiness, joy in the Lord is a choice. And it comes to those who set their sights on larger things. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that this second message now will lend perspective when we need it most. And so may these words stay with us and penetrate our hearts to the core of our being. Thank you, Lord, for your ever, always constant presence in our lives. And help us to find our joy in that. In Jesus' name. Amen.